Our text today for the sermon is from the second chapter of Philippians, beginning at the fifth verse. My own translation. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, though having the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being found in human likeness. Dear friends, what church do you belong to? St. Matthew? St. John? St. Luke? St. John on Mattis? There's an accurate answer for most of you, but it betrays a division that exists among us. No, we're not some of those others I mentioned. In fact, we're not other St. John churches in town here, such as St. John Catholic on campus, or any number of hundreds in our immediate area around here. You ever get baffled sometimes about the amount of churches around? Just so many, and so many new ones seem to be coming along. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Episcopal, Pentecostal, Fundamentalist, non-denominational, if there really were such a thing. And even among us Lutherans, we have Missouri Synod, ELCA, Wisconsin Lutheran, the Free Lutheran, and then within our groups we have confessional, contemporary, traditional, liberal, conservative, more divisions and more divisions. And then there's even more. There's pro-life Christians, pro-choice Christians, Democrats, Republicans, anti-war, support the troops. It just goes on and on and on until we're so fractured and broken down, each with our own labels and names. Whether the difference be the color of the hymnal that you grew up with, as simple as that is, or as weighty as who's invited to come to communion, our divisions are proof that we are not, as St. Paul says, contending as one man for the gospel, as he said earlier in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27. Or, as he says, we are not doing everything without complaining or arguing. We're not living the lives worthy of the gospel of Christ that he spoke about in this letter. On Passion Week, Jesus prayed the night before he was betrayed that we would all be one, just as Jesus and his Heavenly Father were one. But that's not happening among us, is it? Names and labels are evidence that we're not of one mind and of the same attitude to one another. The same mind means that you have the same love for each other, that we are in full agreement, that we do nothing from selfish ambition or motives or pride, but whenever we look around and see other people, we always regard others as better than ourselves. It turns out, however, that we really are of one mind with one another. We are of one mind to disagree just about constantly. Just look at the controversy that we have in our churches over worship styles. Everybody has a different idea of what they want when they come to church, and the churches just acquiesce and just offer, well, if you want this style, we'll have that. If you want that. Some churches offer the proven tradition at the same time in a different part of the building, it seems, they are trying out the latest trend. Friends, this is frightening to me because it looks like we are turning God's house into a marketplace, as Jesus warned us against, you know, trying to get the most people by just giving them what they want. We learned from Walmart and Target how to do that. This just shows us all the more that we really are curvatus en se. And that means curved in on ourselves. We're so bent over examining ourselves today that we tend to see ourselves as better than everybody else. We are slaves to ourselves. And even our attempts to imitate the Christ, what would Jesus do, are just that, an imitation, mimicking the example rather than acting from the new mind that comes from being one with Christ. And it's really sad because St. Paul looks to the Christians in Philippi and to us to make his joy complete. Instead, what do? But bring him shame and sorrow. The Christian church and we individual Christians incomprehensibly divided and still arguing. And in all of it, few people really ask, what does the Bible say? What did God give to us as his revelation? We just go immediately to our positions. You're either for me or against me. You're either on my side or you're not. Well, it's no surprise, the same way in our homes, isn't it? If we really examine how our daily life goes sometimes, harsh words, sharp comments, fighting, it's proof of the problem, isn't it? What's worse is we become enemies of the cross of Christ in doing this, and since all enemies of Christ end in destruction, the judgment of God will be the end of us. And that's a sad state to be in, but I'm in it too. We're all in it together, divided and dividing still. And the good news is, though, there is another mind at work in us, the one that was in Christ Jesus. He was single-minded. It was obedience that he was all about. He had the form of the Father, all the riches of heaven, and all power at his command. And yet he humbled himself. He emptied himself, the Bible says, of all of that. And he took on our human frame. And in doing that, he stretched out that human form, and it became the shape of a cross. Cruciform, we say. His single-minded obedience took him to death, and though he was undeserving of it, that's what he got. Truly, he was a nowhere man, buried in a pauper's grave. Some people wonder why someone who is so allegedly wise would throw away their life like this, devote themselves to servitude and to self-denial, allowing himself to be trampled underfoot by us. And they point at Christ and say, "See? See what obedience gets you?" But obedience is exactly why Jesus came. And that's what we're here to remember this Holy Week. This week is like none other for Christians. We here remember the servitude of Christ. Palm Sunday, oh, it's fun, isn't it? See those kids walk around? But you notice they're following? Yeah, they're following a cross. And that means that we want to become like Christ. We are following those we recognize and obey. Yes, Palm Sunday is exciting, but it's really about humility. What king, after all, rides on a donkey? That's not a Cadillac or a Lexus, you know, in the ancient world. It's a little step above walking. And then who really greets him anyway? It's the pilgrims, the people come to town to worship at the Passover. What are the people of town doing? The real people of power? Well, they're meeting behind closed doors and they're plotting his execution and murder. And through it all, here's Jesus, perfect in obedience and humility. And then he takes it to the next level by turning his obedience into something for us. He placed himself there on that Friday under the wrath, under God's verdict of justice, the verdict that says no sin will ever go unpunished. And that's where Jesus took our place, the cross. He faces the weight of hell, the pain of hell for us. And because of that, we're free. Free we are. That's never going to happen to us, that anger of God turned against us full force, that punishment that brings death and destruction. No, that's never going to happen to us if we trust in him. Friends, you see this picture of Christ. That's the humility and that's the obedience that you're called upon to imitate in your own life. God wants us to follow perfectly in Christ's footsteps by dedicating ourselves completely and perfectly to his desire. Now, when we're all doing that, boy, that's the picture there. Because when we're doing that, all those divisions disappear one by one. No more arguments, no more fighting. We're all united in one purpose, to be humble before God, to obey him, and receive his grace and mercy given to us. And when we're doing that, there's a peace that comes from submitting to God's will, not other people's wills forced upon us, but there's no need to fight anymore. What God is offering is just what we want, all of what we want. And it's what all people want when they're united to Christ in this way. God no longer pays any mind to the myriad of names and labels that we use to describe ourselves. We are only baptized sinner, now forgiven, beloved son and daughter. Our curved in on itself form becomes straight. In fact, we're all looking up to the same place. We're looking up to him who has gone before us through this obedience and through this humility. We don't need to mimic Christ now because he's alive in us. We are shaped in his form. And every Christian, if he or she is a Christian, is in that form, that cruciform. And then, and only then can we really see beyond ourselves, friends. Then we can look to the interests of others. Then we can go about our daily work each day, our task, whatever it is, in humility with regarding others better than we regard ourselves. And together, under the one name of Jesus, we bend our knee to his name. Our tongues confess that the cruciform human, Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. And through it all, God gets all the glory. In his name, amen. The peace of God be with you all.